Gatesworth on Facebook or schedule a personal tour on thegatesworth.com and see for yourself how the Gatesworth does senior living your way.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear?
I haven't seen the sunny side of the street for a while. Till now.
And that happy tune is your step.
Woo-hoo!
Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade.
Sing it,
with
Willie.
Those blues on the rain. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Crossed over.
I don't think I said
if it. I ever have a cent.
All I said was,
I'll be rich.
You sing it, Willie. You didn't have the rest of it on there.
That's just a little snippet.
I've got the full clip.
Okay.
And probably has the rest of it memorized. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the springtime weather, April 8th edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon from the beautiful studios of 590 The Fan of Kirkwood, Missouri. We're glad you're here. This first hour is the hour where we always just kick things around. And I'm not as good as I should be at right up front telling you you're welcome to call here. So you are. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. We will start like this. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Well, it's the, isn't he special?
Uh-huh.
It's Dan Strauss. It's all yours.
I saw this.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I saw this headline, and it says, tourists could face the death penalty for taking photos on a beach near an airport.
And see, now that was appropriate. That's the time you use that.
I know. So, they said authorities in Thailand, I guess this is how it's pronounced. I have
no idea.
Did
you know that's where all the men's ties come from?
Is it is?
I bet you didn't know that.
I did
no.
know that.
You look at the back of a tie, made in Thailand.
I'll be darned.
I call it that. Yeah, huh. Go ahead.
So, Thailand's Mai Khao Beach. I guess that's how it is.
Perfect.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
So authorities are cracking down on people that are on the beach there, and they're taking pictures of planes landing right by the sign of the airport. And the airport is called, I'm going to spell it, Phuket. International Airport.
I've seen. Well, that's easy. French, Phuket.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the French word. Like Chevrolet. Yeah. Chevrolet ends in E-T.
Yes.
So, P-H, how you spell it again?
P-H-U-K-E-T.
Yeah, Phuket, yeah. obviously.
Yeah, Phuket International Airport. So, people have been taking all these pictures. So, they're saying, now the authorities there are saying, if they catch people with their phones out taking pictures, they're going to arrest them and put them in a courtroom, and then they may face the death penalty for doing that.
Wow. That seems a little harsh.
I know.
For taking a picture?
Yeah, for taking a picture there at the airport on the beach.
And death penalty.
I know.
Dan, it's actually a silent H and a long O.
It is?
Yeah, it's Phuket.
Phuket?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that's the way you pronounce it. I was hoping it was something else. I was hoping Tim would go, I looked it up. It's exactly what you hoped it would be. That's how you pronounce it.
And
well,
then,
that explains, we have an expression in this country, if somebody just finally is disgusted and had enough, they just go, ah, Phuket.
Yeah. Phuket. Phuket.
Just put it all in a bucket in Phuket.
No, wait, how did you say, Tim? Is actually supposed to be pronounced?
Phuket. Phuket.
Phuket?
Phuket.
Oh.
Yeah, Phuket.
No, you're ending it with an A.
Phuket.
Blimey, I screwed that up. Edit that
is
out.
Is it
kind of
like
show.
A Canadian
it's
A?
It's Phuket. You pronounce Phuket. The T. It's Phuket.
Oh, okay. Yeah, edit out what he just said. It makes him sound stupid.
Gotcha.
Edit it out.
Radio edit.
So, Tim, how do you pronounce it again?
It's Phuket. You pronounce the T.
Okay. Thank you.
Phuket.
Phuket. All right.
Phuket.
And then there's a college.
What I meant was that's the American expression. I've had enough of this. Phuket. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And I'm not exactly sure where this college is, but their mascot, it's called the Colonials. Mm-hmm. So now people are in an uproar, and some of the students are in an uproar there at the college saying that they need to change the name because Colonials have a tie-in with white supremacy. So
this is getting ridiculous.
I know. So they're complaining about that. Here's my favorite. My favorite was, it's an Auburn High School baseball team. The coach decided to have these guys take yoga and do stretching and all this other stuff with yoga. One of the parents complained and said, yoga is a form of Hinduism.
Oh, boy.
So the coach stopped doing the yoga, mm-hmm. and they quit for a couple days, and then they went back to doing it, and he calls it advanced stretching.
which is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that, but here's what's interesting. God. We change and alter anything over one complaint.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that was one parent.
It was. They said one parent complained.
Well, then that parent can tell their child why they're not allowed to do what all the other kids are doing. Mommy's a nut.
What do they think the parent, like, that yoga was going to do? Convert their child to Hinduism? Like, all of a sudden they're a vegetarian and believe in, like, you know, 20-armed God?
I don't know.
I mean, it does. It is from the Orient or what. It's not, wasn't
India.
Created here. Even the name, yoga, that's not, you know, that's not an American thing.
I thought it was a bear.
What? So what? You know, you could say the same thing about some of the karate stances. You know, the crane. You know, we used to. I mean, that looks like a form of worshiping something.
Did you get his dumb joke? Or did you just ignore it?
No,
I said he thought yoga was a bear. How do you miss that?
Well, even if I'd heard it, it'd be the same silence as when I didn't hear it. It's the same reaction, just silence.
God. I need a picnic basket. I'll stretch for it.
Did you have more, Dan?
No, that was it.
Okay. Anybody else? Work segment?
I do.
All right. Tim Woodburn, everybody.
Thank you, Frank. So Saturday night, I did something I had never done before. I emceed a fundraising event that raised almost $250,000.
Whoa.
From what I understand.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I went to St. Mary's High School, and it was their legacy gala auction dinner. Ex-Mayor Francis Slay was there,
so you're sort of one of like a successful person out of that school.
Well,
look who made it, who went to this school.
Pretty, you know, well, I don't know about that, but I guess some of the alumnus or AM and the PM listeners, and they had the school contact me saying, hey, we heard this guy on the air, and he talks about St. Mary's every once in a while. You ought to get him involved. And so they took me to lunch on the Hill about a month ago and asked me to do it, and I did. And it was Saturday night, and I made a comment on my first or second month ever on this show that I've never had stage fright behind a microphone or when I was a TV anchor or anything like that. The only time I ever had stage fright was when I attempted to do stand. I entered a stand-up comedy contest here in St. Louis,
man,
a couple years ago.
Brutal.
And I mean, the butterflies in my stomach were awful, you know, and I did okay, but I mean, I could have done a lot better.
I don't even know how you did it. I mean, I don't think I could ever do that.
The butterflies in my stomach. Well, I'll tell you something else I'll never do.
Aww.
I'll do that.
The butterflies.
I'll tell you something I'll never do. And at first I was worried they were going to ask me to do it, and actually they did ask me to be the backup just in case something happened. But I'll tell you another something I'll never do with a microphone, and that is beg people for money in front of a crowd. You know, like these auctioneers and these individuals who try and get people to lift their paddles up and donate money.
Oh, you mean one of those speed talkers?
Somebody has to do that, and they usually raise money.
They do, but I mean it's the fill time in between. You know, the president of the school actually did that part of the auction. He did a great job. His name's Michael England, but he you know, he was like, all right, I got to do some heavy lifting here. And this gives me butterflies in my stomach. Like, he even admitted that it was kind of an awkward butterfly thing for him to do. And he did a great job. He's like, okay, who can give me $5,000? Come on, get in your pockets, people. Get in your pocket. And like, you know, it's that fill time in between when you're asking buddy for money. And I'll tell you, I don't think I could do that. I really don't. Maybe if it was
very interesting, because I would think that you'd be a great auctioneer. I'm not talking about them. Yeah, give me five. I'm not talking about professional. No. I'm talking. Some people are good auctioneers, sure, and they're not your traditional. Hey, what about it? But they're real good at doing what you're talking about doing. And I would have thought you'd be good.
Well, they had two different kinds of auctioneers. One was the president who did the hey, get in your pot. Hey, who can be 500? Okay, let's go down to 2,500. Everybody raise your paddle. Who can do 2,500? All right, now let's go down to 1,000. Maybe I could get away with that. But then there's the guy that wanders the room with the microphone, and you have these live auction items up for bid, like a five day cruise and a party suite. The car. Like, okay, $1,200. We got $1,200 over. Yeah. Can you give me what's $50? Can you?
No, I don't like that either. When they work the room, they walk the room. That, I don't like that.
That's definitely the part I could not do.
I have to tell you, it's not something I want to do, but I've done it, and I will say, selfishly, I thought it went really well, and after it was over, I enjoyed it, because what I did was take the sting out of asking for money by making it fun. For example, if there's someone in the audience that I know is well off, and I know that before, I know that they've been very generous, but for night, whatever, we're not quite there, and I would just say, look, Mr. Whatever, please don't make me pull out your tax returns, because we got them. We got them this morning, and I'll start reading line by line. Thank you, $500. You know, that kind of thing. I did a thing with a football, and it was a Jackie Smith signed for years ago, and we weren't getting what we wanted, so I had arranged for a telephone to be there as a prop on a pedestal. So I pretend I'm on the phone with Jackie, and his feelings are hurt. He's crying because nobody cares about his football. And I'm going to tell you something, we got like 10 grand for that ball. Wow. But if that's the only way I could do it, I couldn't do, that mingling, walking the room. First of all, you better not mess that up and get somebody's name wrong who's important, or say the wrong thing, which is so easy to do now.
Well, the one thing that made it funny was the guy that was walking the room. I don't believe he was an alum of the school. I believe he was a hired hand to come and do it, because he did a really smooth job. He was really good at it. Yeah. But his wife was there, and she started bidding on stuff. She, like, if the bids were going slow, she'd throw her hand up and she'd start bidding on stuff.
It's one thing to want to support your husband, but to spend all you've got. Now, that's funny.
Part two of my Burke segment is, and I normally have...
By the way, that's a dangerous game that people play, is what? They will sort of kickstart the bidding and maybe bump it and bump it, thinking that's all they're doing, and then all of a sudden there's not another bidder,
right,
and you're the buyer. But that happens, and it's done by people who can pretty well read, you know, who's out there, and they know they're not going to get stuck with it when they kick it up a notch or two. But that's a dangerous game to play.
Part two of my Burke segment is, for one of the very few times in my life, I wussed out on something that I planned on doing. I just didn't have the guts to do it at the last minute. And this has to go with what Dan was saying about, you know, schools, you know, yoga and teachers, you know, changing the names of things. I graduated high school in 1987, and there was Brothers of Mary that were at St. Mary's High School. There was priests that were there, and there were Marianist brothers, and there were lay people. They all kind of mingled and all taught there. And the school's a lot different now, but there were brothers there that were, for lack of a better phrase, they were almost like monks, but, you know, they were religious people that, you know, that were devoted to God. So we had a Spanish teacher, and he passed away a couple of years ago. His name was Brother William O'Leary, and I hated Spanish in high school, and I
loved it.
I had to take it in college as well, and I got through it, but it just was not my favorite subject, and I really grasped it all that well. But the one thing I remember was that he made us say the Hail Mary in Spanish at the beginning of every class.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was 32 years ago. And I still remember the Hail Mary in Spanish to this day.
Really?
I'd like to hear it. Anybody else like to hear it?
I would.
You guys want to hear it?
Can I tell my story first?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they brought in a priest to actually give the pre-dinner prayer. And I walked up to this priest. And this kid, I mean, he looked like he was 15 years old. I mean, he told me he was only been a priest for 2 years. He was like the youngest looking priest I'd ever seen in my life. And I think he was a nervous wreck. not a nervous wreck, but he was. You could tell he was a little nervous in front of all these people, which I don't know why, because priests talk in front of congregations all the time. And he did a great smooth job once
How
he finally got there.
How old did he look?
I mean, seriously, he looked like a teenager. I mean, he was a really, Father, really baby-faced looking guy.
Father Hauser, Doogie Hauser.
So I told him, I said, listen, to kind of lighten the moment here, I was going to tell the story about Brother Bill and how that's the one thing I remember from his Spanish class, and I was going to say the Hail Mary in Spanish before you give your prayer. What are your thoughts on that idea? And he kind of looked at me with his eyes real big, like maybe that wasn't the coolest thing to do. It was going to be a serious moment. So I backed off of doing it. But what I was going to say in introducing the Hail Mary in Spanish to these 500 people or whatever that was in this gym was that Brother Bill had an incident in his younger days. This probably occurred in the 50s, maybe the 40s. He was about 50 when I went to school there, so it probably occurred in the 30s. And he had a sports injury. He's a big dude too, 6'4", big barrel chested guy. And he hurt his arm to the sense that physicians at the time and medicine at the time would only allow him to make a decision. He could hold his arm out straight forward, like, you know,
or cut it off.
All he could do was raise it up to his head and then straight out, or he could move it down, like to his waist and straight out. That was the option. They were gonna sew his ligament together or whatever. They were doing. But he could only move his arm one way, uh-huh, or half the way for the rest of his life. You know, and he'd make your decision now. So, because he walked into class and he always held his arm like at his waist like this, and on the first day it became him to explain to us why he held his arm that way.
And like so, Bob Dole, remember Bob Dole?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it was like, Frank. That's exactly what it was like. So I was a bit of a smart ass back in the day, and I'm sitting in the front row. And he goes, I know, I'll explain that later. And Brother Bill, on the first day of class, goes, now I want us to explain to everybody what's wrong with my arm here before you all start asking. He goes, you know, they had this injury, and they said I could either move it up this way or I could move down this way. And I made the decision to be able to move it up this way, and he put his hand near his head. He goes, now, does anybody know why I made that decision? and the first thing, and this is the first day of my freshman year of high school, and I looked at him and I said, is it because when you could have had a V8 and you didn't have one, you could smack yourself in the head and say, I could have had a V8? And he looked, and the kids in the class all laughed when I said that, and he looked at me and he gave me this grin. It was more of a smirk. And he walked up to me, and he gave me a little smack in the head. And he goes, no, so I can smack smartasses in the head like you would. They say stuff like that in my classroom. And he gave me a little smack on the head. It didn't hurt. It wasn't beating or anything like that. But I was going to tell that story and then tell the Hail Mary in Spanish and say, Brother Bill, this is for you, because it's the only thing I remember about Spanish in high school. But I wussed out, and I didn't do it.
Oh. How about that? So, his last name's O'Leary, and he was the Spanish teacher.
Isn't that nuts?
So when was this event?
Saturday night, 2 nights ago.
Yeah. So did you like doing it?
Oh, it was fun, yeah. And they raised a ton of money. It was really a classy event, and they had there was a lot of big name people in St. Louis that I didn't realize were graduates of my high school until I went to this thing. You know, like Tom Kudis from Kudis Funeral Home, Mayor Francis Slay, you know, Denny Long from Sam Steakhouse. You know, I mean, there was a lot of highfaluters, high rollers that were there. I didn't realize they were alumnus of my school. We never talked about them when I was at school, so how would I know? You know, so it was a fun night. It was a real fun night.
It was, what was the high school? Mary?
St. Mary's High School in South Korea.
St. Mary's High School. How big a school? I mean, how much was your graduating class? How many people?
About 200. So there was about 1,000 kids in the school when I went there, because the freshman class is always the biggest, of course.
It's medium
yeah,
size.
Yeah, it's a class 3A school in Missouri. Missouri lists their schools, 1A is the smallest, 5A is the biggest, when they categorize your school for the sports that your school plays in. So it's a 3A school. It's in the middle.
So you... I forgot what I was going to ask. I had a question, and I forgot what it was. Reunions. Have you ever done a reunion?
Yeah. We had a 20- and a 30-year reunion. They actually had a gym that was a really little tiny gym when they pulled the stands out. I mean, it almost came right to the sideline of the gym. Like the players on the bench, like their toes were almost in play. That's how tight this gym was. And some drunk that lived behind the school snuck into that gym and lit some curtains on fire, and the gym burned down.
Ooh,
and he ended up going to prison, And they caught him, and they ended up taking the insurance money and building a spectacular replacement gym with this big mezzanine and an alumni center and the whole bit. I mean, it's 10 times nicer than the gym they had when I went to school there.
Yeah, that's what just happened, folks. I just said, did you ever go to one of your reunions? You want to get into the whole gym burning down?
Well, that's because they hold it in the gym. I'm sorry. That's what I meant. That's what I was
getting to. Sorry, my question. When you went to the 20th and what, the 30th?
Yeah, I went to the 20th and the 30th. Yeah.
All right, so the 30th, when you went, did you feel younger than most of the other people or older than most of the other people? I bet you felt younger.
I didn't have that sensation at all. What I did feel was a wave of emotions that overcame me of memories of different parts, because they gave us a tour of the school, and I remembered things that happened as if they happened yesterday.
Did you cry at your reunion? No. Tell the truth. No. It's okay.
No, I didn't. Why would I cry? Right. It was an all-guys school.
The way you said it was emotional. I thought, my goodness, he went to the reunion, he started crying. It can happen.
Just because I said it was emotional doesn't mean it was a tearjerker. I just meant it was sort of emotional to have all those memories rush back into you of something.
A little bit defensive.
When you're walking the halls.
Like a baby. Cried like a baby. Yeah. That's all right. It's nothing wrong with that.
I only cried when I walked next to the principal's office. That was the part that made me cry.
Yeah.
Boy, that was
paddling.
I don't know if kids in school now even know what we're talking about. Do you still get sent to the principal's office? I guess you do.
Yeah.
And here's, you know, okay, want to talk about this? And if you think about this, none of this stuff, especially what I'm about to mention, would ever be allowed, when in fact it's some of the old ways are good ideas. Here's an example. If you mouthed off in class or acted up or for whatever reason you're getting punished, one of the things they do to us is take your desk. The teacher would drag your desk out into the hall.
Oof.
Outside the class, and you had to sit there by yourself in the hallway. And then when class is let out, everybody's running and going to the lockers, and you just have to sit there. That's part of the punishment. You have to stay there like 2-3 hours.
We had teachers that would try and one-up on each other on what exactly their punishment was. In fact, Fred Hoyt, who the annual golf tournament is named after, a former teacher there, was my math teacher there, and he's got this huge brick plaque of himself right outside the gym. If you smarted off to him or in any way misbehaved in his class, he wouldn't give detentions. The teachers had the right to give detentions. He wouldn't give you detentions. He would make you meet him after school and walk you over to the gym, and they had a chin-up bar that was about 7 feet off the ground, he'd make you hang. He said, Woodburn, open your mouth again. That you're going to hang for 60 seconds. All right, Woodburn, make it 90. All right, Woodburn, make it 120. And you had to hang from the chin-up bar. And if you dropped and fell to the ground, the clock started over, and you had to get back up and do it again.
Wow.
We had another teacher make you do fingertip push-ups. You had not push-ups. You just had to do the push-up, hold the push-up position on your fingertips.
Wow.
And he'd time it as well. And if you screwed up, the clock started over again.
Yeah, and these were the days when we weighed like 130
right.
or something. I mean, you could actually push yourself up. If they had me hang by a bar, right, I would hang 3 seconds and then just fall like a big sack of potatoes or something. But you can't do that stuff anymore. But no. some of it, I got to tell you something, was powerful. And I'll tell this story again. I've told it a couple of times. And what the teacher did to the student is beyond unacceptable today. She'd never teach again. But I'm going to tell you something. It left a lasting impression with not just the kid it happened to, but with everybody who witnessed it. Our teacher was a real attractive redhead in her 30s, a great body. You know, when you're in high school, you sit there and fantasize about certain teachers. And she was in an extremely foul mood one day. She was just unusually, you know, nasty. And one of the kids in the class, a high school boy who was an athlete, he's a tall guy on the basketball team, and he just sort of said under his breath, "Looked like somebody's on the rag." That was an expression for people who don't know. If it was a woman's monthly time, you'd say, "Oh, she's on the rag."
Aunt Flo is visiting.
Not a very polite way. Dan, we're not looking for alternative sayings. Okay?
Oh.
So when he said, "It looks like somebody's on the rag," she seemed to not hear it. And then she made her way around the back of the room and then up beside him. And she slapped him across the face as hard as I have ever seen anybody slap. You know the school chairs, they're cut out on one side. The chair's cut out on one side. You slide in, there's that little goofy desktop thing.
Yeah.
She knocked him completely out of the chair. I mean, she hit his face so hard. I thought his face was going to burst with blood. And he's lying on the floor in class in front of everybody. And she said, "Don't you ever say anything like that to me again."
Wow.
And I have never forgotten it. And, buddy, I didn't back talk her. I saw how bad. And when he got up back in his chair, his side of his face looked like he put an iron against it. I mean, she really knocked the crap out of him. But it made a lasting impact. And I'm sure a lot of people say, well, there was another way to do it. No, I don't think there was another way to do it that would have gotten my attention and everybody else's the way that did.
She say, mark the calendars, because yes, I am.
Expect the same thing in 4 weeks.
Frank, we had a teacher at the school who was a Vietnam vet, and he was a social studies teacher, and he was also a coach of a sport. I thought he was a really nice guy. And there was a couple of real jerks that I went to school with that if we were having a quiet time, or if we were having, like, you know, we were supposed to read and we were having it was supposed to be silent, completely silent in the room, there'd be about 10, 15 minutes of silence, and then somebody would take one of those big social studies books and hold it out and drop it and go,
and it would, if you do it idea. Just right where it hits flat, that's a loud sound.
Well, and he would have a real knee jerk, and he would duck. I mean, he had
PTSD.
You know, that has to be the first ever example of PTSD I've ever seen, because he would literally duck and look over his shoulder as if to, you know, see if something just go off, whatever. Well, he got really upset one day when a guy did this, and normally he was, you know, could hold his own, but I think he was going to start crying, or he was getting emotional. Well, he walked out in the hall, and one of the brothers that nobody wanted to mess with, I guess, got wind of that story, and he came into the classroom about 15 minutes later, and he called that kid out of the classroom, and we didn't see that kid the rest of the day. I don't know what he did to him, but that kid never, ever did that again. I can tell you that.
Have a good old school, eh?
Yeah. And I'm sure the kid's alive and well, but whatever it was, that kid got the message. See, and that's what's missing. The only message they get now is, you can't do this to me and you can't do that to me, or I'll get a lawyer, or I'll get my parents, or blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that didn't fly at one point. And look, I get it. I understand. You can't go around knocking kids around and hitting them. But that's what they did when I was in high school.
That's how my great uncle died.
Oh. He died from being hit as a student?
Yeah, yeah. Back in Wales, it was 1920.
Well, that's where the term whale came from. He's whaling on that kid.
Oh,
that's
where it came from. Seriously, making jokes about my dead family members. Wow. Incredible. Hey, no, great. Yeah, I am. In fact, you know what? Well done. So, you got that.
So he's in school, and honest to goodness, punishment killed him?
Yeah, a teacher hit him over the head with an umbrella, gave him a concussion, and back then they didn't know what it was, so he went home, took a nap, and never got back up again.
Wow.
His name was Idris. Idris Downs. And it's the last time that teacher ever did anything.
Did they figure out that it was the teacher?
And the great-grandmother went down there, and, I don't exactly know what she did to him, but I think that was the last time he ever hit a kid. But, I mean, you know, that was back in the day, so it was just there was no way to link it or anything
now,
like
who
that.
Who was this guy, Idris? Was he your uncle?
Yeah, it was my father's uncle.
So Idris, he's your great-uncle.
Yeah, my great-uncle.
Were you close to Idris?
He died when, he was a kid in 1920s, 1930s.
So the answer would be no.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Did you guys ever have...
His name was Idris Downs. Is that right?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Was there any criminal charges filed?
I don't think so. No. Oh. I mean, this was way back in the day. They didn't do stuff like that. My dad got hit by a car by a judge once. A barrister. And nothing ever came of that. And that was in 1962, you know? So.
And Idris's family, I'm guessing, unlike today, didn't sue the school for a ton of money.
No. I mean, I don't even think that was an option
today,
back in
Can you imagine today if a teacher hit a kid in the head with an umbrella and it killed him? Oop, $200 million.
You know, I went to Beerbaum Elementary School in South St. Louis County for kindergarten, first and second
Beerbong
grade.
Beerbong Elementary? What kind of school is that?
Beerbong.
Highly rated. No, it's beer bomb. Beer bomb. B-A-U-M. Beer bomb. Beer bomb. Elementary school. It's at the intersection of Union and Rivas Barracks. And I only went there for 3 years, kindergarten, first and second. But we had a principal there named Mr. Harrell. And it was well known throughout the school that if you upset a teacher or got sent to the principal's office As I recall, it was a three-step process. The first process was you just got a stern talking to and a warning.
Mm.
If you got sent a second time, you got what was called shown the paddle. And he had a paddle that looked like a pickleball paddle, and it was wood, and it had holes in it. And he pulled this out from the desk, and I made it to phase two. I was shown the paddle. That was a deterrent. That's what they call a deterrent. Yeah,
right. Did it have tacks or nails in it that would dig into the buttocks?
No, this wasn't Rambo.
No, but when his name
wasn't Rambo, Frank.
When the paddle has got the holes drilled in it, there's less air resistance.
Yeah. Oh, no. I've seen them. Limey, I've seen these paddles that are deliberately made with perfect holes in them. So they're, aerodynamic. Yeah. Cut right through the wind.
Well, the word was that you got the paddle was a real thing. If you got back to time three, that you got the paddle.
Oh, yeah.
And
did you guys ever have, were there any rumors of the electric paddle? Because that's what we kept hearing.
We had
that
one.
The worst kids get the electric paddle. I'm not kidding. And we believed it.
We had one. I was in Catholic school for the first 4 years. So first through fourth grade. And there was a big rumor going around that the nun, who was the principal of the school, had an electric paddling machine. And if you went up there, you would have to be subject to that. But then Sister Betty Jean in second grade,
she talked about her before.
Oh, she beat the crap out of us. Is she still living? Yeah, I think so. Somebody called and said that she was in a nun's retirement home, but this was this was a few years ago, and I was going to go knock on the door and just punch her right in the face. Sister Betty Jean,
hit her over the head with an umbrella.
Yeah, but she used to smack us in the back of the legs. Remember those long pointers that they used to? She'd smack us in the back of the legs with that. She'd hit us over the hands and just smack us all over the place.
By the way, those pointers and stuff in school, now I realize they're made out of the same stuff they cane people with in other countries.
Oh, yeah.
I got whacked with those things a few times.
That was brutal.
We joke about this, but we actually briefly discussed this on this show a while ago, I don't know if you remember, but there are now school districts that are bringing paddling and spanking back. But the way it's done is a notice sent home to the parent, and the parent has to enroll their child in the potential spanking program. And if your kid's enrolled and that kid screws up, the parent has pre-given permission. If you Google spanking in schools now, there are schools in Oklahoma, in Texas, and Kansas, and there's quite a few recent schools districts that have voted that in.
No way in hell would I let that happen. Like, I'm going to punish my child and reprimand my child absolutely at home, but I'm not going to give some teacher the authority to hit my child. Are you kidding me? I have no idea how hard they're going to hit him if that teacher's had a bad day and wants to take it out. No way.
Well, first of all, it's too vague. It's too vague a permission. Spank my child. Spank him how? Spank him how long? Mm-hmm. How many licks? What kind of pedal? How big a teacher? Over what? I mean, it's too... I agree with Limey. I think it's too vague to give permission to it because it could be abused too easily. And then if it's abused and overdone, they go, well, you said you gave permission.
Yeah, right. No.
So, yeah, I don't think I'd do it either.
In junior high, which is now middle school now, but junior high, when we were in junior high, in gym class, if the teacher deemed it was horseplay, automatic paddling. So it was me and this other guy. And we were screwing around, and Mr. Kirk, the gym teacher who had one eye, he had a glass eye.
How old were you when you were with your buddy?
This was probably seventh grade. So,
so did they catch you experimenting with homosexuality?
Oh my God! Only in the locker, in the shower. It was horseplay, and we had to wear, those goofy gym shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And then we would have to wear jock straps. We'd have to leave our underwear in the... you'd have to take your underwear off and everything and just have your jock straps on and put your shorts on over your jock strap. So we were sent to the principal's office to get paddled. And the one guy went in the first time, and he was like, I could hear him. I'm sitting outside the office, and he kept going, "Please don't hit me hard. Please don't. No, I was. I'm sorry. I'll never do it again." And he's in the back, and all of a sudden, I hear this, "Swack!" And it was three smacks, "Swack, swack." And I went in, and I didn't say a word, and he just said, "Put your hands on my desk and bend over." And he
put your hands on my what?
A desk.
Desk.
Desk. Oh, desk. Desk. Yeah, the desk.
Desk.
Yeah. And bend over. And then he cracked me three times with that.
He cracked you.
Yeah. Smacked me three times with that paddle.
No.
And I was like,
"Well, Limey, you say no, but he didn't have a choice."
I don't even know
how many times I got paddled, but I didn't have any choice.
Well,
I got
lucky.
"Hey, I don't think you should be paddling me." That didn't work.
He didn't hit me as hard as the other guy, and he told me, he said, "I didn't hit you as hard because you didn't say a word when you walked in here."
Lesson learned. God.
Well, see, I got lucky when it came to education, I guess, and reprimanding like that at school, because there was none of that in school. If there had been any child beaten in my high school or like caned or anything, all the parents would have raised hell. Like, I can imagine that if I had gone home with and said, like, "Hey, yeah, a teacher, like, you know, got out a paddle and hit me three times," my dad would have been that school's worst nightmare. Like, he would have raised fire down like that. But another good story about my dad, I think, is when he was either 13 or 14, he got sent to, and we called him the headmaster, he got sent to the headmaster's office, and he was going to get caned. And hand on my heart, this is the actual story, he just said, "No, I don't think so," turned around, walked out, and he quit the school. He went home to my grandma, and she was like, "Okay," he told her what was going to happen. She said, "Okay." The next day, he was going to a different high school. I believe he left Campion High School in Leamington, and then he went
Tampon
to Trinity
High School.
Tampon. Campion.
Oh.
And so then he went to the Trinity High School in Warwick. Yeah, he just went, "Nope, you're not hitting me," and he quit. Love that, man.
Well, and you know what? Good for him. But here, let me ask you a question. When we think of little British kids, or like school kids, we sort of visualize, one, they're pale, okay?
Yeah, yeah, pale, wearing pale, like, you know, the gray shorts,
white like Bobby
yeah,
socks,
yeah, yeah.
And they're not real. They're not real tough guys. The little guys.
Right.
They're kind of. Maybe that's why, because they didn't get knocked around enough in school to toughen them up. Like, you know, teachers taking paddles to them and stuff. Maybe if they'd had that, they'd be
maybe
a little bit tougher looking.
Maybe, but yeah.
I got it. I don't think there's anybody out there whose life was ruined or has been ruined because they got paddled in school. You know, no kid died from it. They didn't have to go to the hospital for it. And to say that somehow it scarred them or damaged them, I don't think so. And I got paddled a lot. I mean, in high school, probably a couple of dozen different times. For usually talking back and too much. But on the second thought, wait a minute, I guess I am scarred. I just realized who I am and what I'm doing for a living. Yeah, okay. Maybe there is some horrible damage that's done by paddling. But I think this bringing it back is risky. Just because you can't define. You say, "Well, I got spanked at school." Okay. By whom, first of all? Was it like a giant 6'5" beast of a man? Was it a little bitty woman? How many licks? How close? What was the, you know, that kind of thing. What was the paddle made out of? But the electric paddle, it's interesting how stupid you are as a kid and how gullible you are. And the crap you're hearing it from, it's one thing for an adult to be able to talk a kid into something that's not true, or to convince them of something. But this was perpetuated primarily by other students, and we fell for it. You know, the electric paddle. Now, I never saw it. I was in the principal's office and got paddled in the principal's office, but he never went for the electric paddle. Because we were told that's when they decided it's like you're headed for maximum security prison. You know, you're like the worst kid you could be, then you get the electric paddle. And it's not until years later you go, wait a minute.
That's like the high school
electric paddle.
That's like the high school version of capital punishment, the electric paddle.
They call it corporal punishment. That's actually the phrase that they use for the states that allow their students to be spanked is corporal punishment. Mm-hmm. And from what I've researched here during this conversation, there are 19 states in the country right now that allow it.
But if they do it like it was done when I was a kid, I don't know that I have a problem with it, but I don't trust it. I don't trust it to be carried out in the right way for the right reasons.
Specifically, though, Frank, are we talking paddle to skin or paddle to pants?
You never pulled your pants down in school. Oh, that would have really been wrong. But you bent over and touched your toes to make it as tight back. And they would know if you stuffed, because trust me, we tried all of that. Stuffed something back in your pants, a big wad of Kleenexes or something. The teacher would reach up and feel that. They'd touch your butt and go, okay. Go in the restroom, take the padding out, and come back. And you have to go remove it or just reach back there and pull it out and then bend back over. And then they'd let you have it. And it hurt. I mean, it hurt. Here's the dilemma. You're in front of the rest of your class, and maybe your girlfriend is in class. You don't want her to see you cry like a little baby. And the teacher knows you're trying not to cry. So they're laying it on. This is Tennessee, buddy. This is a hick town in Tennessee, and when they laid it on, they wanted to try to make you cry.
I'll tell you something.
And usually you did, and your eyes would water, but you wouldn't whimper because you didn't want the other students to see it.
You talk about doing something to you in front of your girlfriend. I have a niece and a nephew that are going to graduate from Fort Zumwalt West High School next month, and their older brother graduated to... That's not a bragger. That's just a stating of fact.
That's a joke.
Oh, okay.
Ha, ha, ha.
You know what they told me? This was a couple years ago. You know what they told me? The thing is that is going on in high schools right now is that there's these gangs, you know, of kids that are the bullies, as it were. They call them gangs. I just call them bullies. Yeah. They're not gangs, you know, toting, packing heat or anything. But they would look. They would patrol the school grounds and the recess grounds, and you know, just kids walking. They would patrol, walking around, looking for like a boy and a girl holding hands. And they would beat up the kid in front of his girlfriend. Like that was their.
That's a thrill for somebody.
It's initiation. It's an initiation. The gang is to beat up a guy in front of his girlfriend. Twisted. So it got to the point where kids were afraid to hold hands and like show PDA with each other in any way, shape, or fashion, so that the gangs wouldn't know that they were dating. Like that, you had to almost like keep it on the down low, and the school had to get involved. This became a big issue, from what my nieces and nephew told me, or my nephews and niece told me, that I just can't imagine.
What is wrong? You know what?
Unbelievable.
This is proof that we've got people, even from a young age, who were wired wrong. They're wired with some evil, horrible, no conscience sort of gene that most people don't have. What's the thrill in beating a guy up in front of his girlfriend?
The embarrassment, because it's an additional embarrassment, because there's kids that are bullies and they have no moral conscience. That's why.
Very true.
Wow. Yeah. I'll take a couple of quick calls here. These people have been holding. I think George was first. George, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
Holy cow, I am in the PM. Let's go, Cardinals.
Oh, it's George Carey. Harry's cousin.
What in the world?
His element is onto the sun.
Be careful, George. It sounds like you might be throwing up on yourself. But that's how Harry sounded, like he was throwing up on himself.
Yeah.
Right on, yeah. It's right where...
George?
Chase the plaza, and then the bus hit me, and...
Yeah.
It's all that good stuff. But either way, how are you?
We're fine. We're fine, Randy. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to get I'm going in for brain surgery a week from tomorrow. They're going to take that thing out of my head. I had too much radiation. So
really?
Whoa.
Yeah, they're going to cut it out. I'm glad it's be done with. I said, hey, man, if you need to take a little more, go ahead and just make sure you get it all.
Good luck with that.
Take a little more.
Check in with us when it's all over and you're okay, okay?
I will, man, and I just wanted to say, you guys crack me up every day, and, you know, I've got a lot of friends that listen to you guys. Hello. And, yeah, man, just, you know, pray for me, and I think everything will be all right.
Have one of your friends call and let us know how you're doing.
I will. I will.
Okay, okay, George. All right. Good luck with that. Okay? Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Tom, I just have enough time maybe for Tom and one more. Tom, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's up?
Hi, guys. I had a third grade teacher, and while you were learning cursive writing, she would walk around the room, and if you were holding your pen incorrectly, she would poke you on the top of the head with a lead pencil, a sharpened lead pencil.
Oh, you could get lead poisoning in your brain from that.
You could die.
Exactly. She was the teacher from hell.
No, come on. Well, okay, I guess that's okay. Second thought, I agree with that. So, Tom, are you're not permanently brain damaged or anything, are you? You okay?
No, I held my pen correctly until I got out of her class, and then I held it any way I wanted to after that.
All right, Tom, thank you. I can get one. I can get Jim.
Jim's dropped off.
I don't have to get Jim in there. Hey, I know that Dan Buffa's in tomorrow, but man, I watched a couple of things over the weekend, and I don't think I can wait till tomorrow to mention them. One of them was a thing called the Bill Murray Stories. Has anybody seen this documentary?
Is that the one that's on Netflix?
You know what? It was either on Netflix or iTunes or something like that. I don't remember where I got it, but yeah, you got to go there to get it. It's not the greatest thing I ever saw, but it's really interesting. It's really documenting the fact that all of these different people have had Bill Murray just pop up at their stuff. And it's not just a wedding or two. It's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's somebody's house, they got another couple over. He comes to the door and ends up having dinner with them. It's actually really interesting and fun. And what I find fascinating about it is Bill Murray is by himself in all these situations, and some of them are crowded. But once you say to people, hey, I'm one of you, if you let me hang out and you'll respect me and we'll have a good time, you're not, you know what I'm saying? You're not putting that celebrity barrier between you and them. And it's fascinating how safe he is. And I think if anybody tried to take a swipe at him or mess with him, everybody else in the room would escort him out of there. It's a brilliant way to interact with just regular people by just showing up and participating with them. And if you tried to walk past them as a celebrity, that's where I think the problem is. Like, you're avoiding regular people. He's a very interesting guy. And then that led to late last night. I was up later than I wanted to be. Watching an unbelievable the bio on biography of Gilda Radner. Love Gilda. What a story. And I couldn't remember what killed Gilda Radner, what kind of cancer. It was ovarian cancer. But I'd forgotten she was given a clean bill of health. Remission. No more chemo. Hair grew back. Sort of a celebratory feel with the family. And then, boom, it's not gone. And it killed her. It's a tremendous, if you get a chance, I think it's just called Love.
That happened to Alyssa's cheerleading coach in high school, the hockey cheerleading coach. She had ovarian cancer, and then one of the hockey banquets, she announced that she was cancer-free, and everybody went crazy, and then it came back with a vengeance.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't know that you're ever completely in the clear with that mess. All right, we got to do a little bit of business here, and then Josh Bauman will join us. He's our tech guy. He knows a lot about that tech stuff. So if you have questions, here, I'll give you the numbers. You get the jump on everybody else. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Fantastic weather. Great weather for doing stuff at home, outside the house, inside the house, or maybe changing the house, maybe improving the house, which brings me to the First Community Credit Union Home Equity Line of Credit. If you're a homeowner, you more than likely have equity in that house. You use that equity to get a line of credit. Now, you may not need, let's say you got a $40,000 line of credit, but what you did to your house only cost $28,000. No big deal. You had it if you needed it. You didn't need it. You pay as you go. And you only borrow what you want to borrow, and you only pay. And by the way, if you apply for that home equity line of credit by June 30th, you get an introductory rate of 2.49% APR for the first 12 months. That is a terrific deal. For anybody who's looking for some cash to make some home improvements this spring. All right. Josh Bauman on the way in. You got a question about Alexa, but you don't want to say it in front of Alexa. You have a tablet question, a phone question, a TV question. He's your guy. And he'll be with us after the news. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Actress Felicity Huffman is among those who will plead guilty in the huge college admissions cheating scandal that today from the Massachusetts Department of Justice, which says 13 other parents and one college coach, but not fellow actress Lori Loughlin, will enter pleas. NBC's Miguel Almaguer says many more who have been accused are not yet pleading guilty.
50 parents, 50 people were charged and arrested in this case, and the alleged ringleader, William Singer, said he helped upwards of 700 families.
In a statement, Huffman said she is in full acceptance of her guilt and with deep regret and shame over what she did. Defense Department officials say three U.S. troops and a contractor are dead in an IED